Welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock, and 106.1 BLI, Long Island's number one for all the hits. Plugged Into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area issues. It's heard Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plugged Into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group of Long Island's Community Affairs team right here at our studios in West Babylon. I'm Alex, your host for today's episode. Let me introduce our guest for today, Paul Rubin, Executive Director of Camp Good Morning. Thanks so much for joining me here today, Paul.
You bet. Thank you.
So what exactly is Camp Good Morning and when was it founded?
So Camp Good Morning is a nonprofit that provides free, absolutely free bereavement camp programs for Long Island children coping with the death of a parent or sibling. And we were founded in 2018.
And what exactly is a bereavement camp? You mentioned that Camp Good Morning specifically is a bereavement camp. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I think when people think about bereavement, they're thinking about a lot of crying and a lot of sadness. And there is sadness and there is some crying. But what we are is we are a traditional, you know, a traditional camp that has all the traditional camp activities. The big difference is that we have support groups for our kids. And so that the kids can not only have fun, but they can also talk about some of the things that they aren't able to talk about maybe at home or in school. So for example, throughout the weekend, as I had mentioned, they do the typical camp activities, which might be fishing in a gaga pit, and we have a big bonfire and the kids can play sports. But they'll attend four different support groups over the weekend, and each support group focuses on a different topic or theme. And they range from giving the kids an opportunity to share their grief story, because most of them have never done that before. And the second one, which is on Saturday, is all about giving the kids an opportunity to explore their feelings. And we have another one that afternoon, which is about identifying and exploring healthy as well as unhealthy coping skills. And then the last one, which is on Sunday, is all about giving the kids an opportunity to learn some new ways that they can stay connected to the person who died, even though that they're no longer physically here.
And how old are the kids that are going to Camp Good Morning? Are they toddlers? Are they teenagers?
Yeah, that's a good question. Generally speaking, they are 7 to 17. Typically, we won't take anybody below that or above that. However, sometimes we do make exceptions. So if there is a 6.5-year-old who's developmentally appropriate for a 7-year-old support group, then, you know, there's an opportunity for them to attend. And the same thing for an 18-year-old. So, for example, if there's an 18-year-old who is still in high school, we will definitely consider them, especially if they've never been to a bereavement group before, because essentially a bereavement group is the same thing as a bereavement camp without the camp part. So, again, we just provide them with a whole lot of fun in addition to, you know, helping them and giving them support.
And when are these camps hosted? Are they seasonally? Are they annually? And for how long at a time?
Yeah, so what we do is we provide them with two camps per year. So one is in spring and one is in fall. And sometimes we'll hear people ask, you know, how come it's not in the summertime when kids have off? And the reason is pretty, one probably would not think about this, but there are other bereavement camps out there that do provide summer support. However, there aren't any that operate in the spring and the fall. And what we did intentionally, we wanted kids to be able to get service year round. So we designed our camps in the spring and the fall. And what they are is they're weekend camps. So the kids will come on a Friday afternoon, usually around 4 o'clock, and they'll leave on Sunday about 4 o'clock. And we also provide them with coach bus transportation. So if the kids or if the families have challenges with transportation or have any financial issues, we take that off their load. We just want to provide them with an opportunity where they can come to camp and the parents or caregivers don't have to worry about anything else but giving their children their children support.
And I know in the past when we've talked, you guys have been based in Camp Quinnipet over on Shelter Island. Will that be the case this year?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Every camp is always pretty extraordinary. And what I think the kids love the most, for those who aren't familiar with Camp Quinnipet, it is on Shelter Island. And if some of our Long Islanders are not familiar with Shelter Island. It's a little island in between the North and South Forks, and the only way to get there is through a ferry, and they can take a North Ferry or the South Ferry. One of the things that the kids love the most is boarding the coach bus, and then as they're on the bus boards the ferry itself. And to them, that is a big deal because they can't believe that they're on this huge, huge bus and they're getting on this ferry that's going to take them, you know, across to, it's almost like going to another world. It's very, very metaphorical for kind of like leaving their other world behind and coming to this magical place where they get to meet other kids who are going through the same thing that they're going through.
As silly as it sounds, going onto that ferry and going to Shelter Island, it does feel like you're going to a different world. About a year ago or so, me and my friend Marissa, we were visiting all the libraries on Long Island for the Suffolk County Library Tour, and I decided that one of the libraries we were going to go to was on Shelter Island, so we had to take that ferry, and you're not joking. It feels like you're leaving the rest of Long Island behind when you're going to Shelter Island on that ferry, and I can't even imagine how it would feel as a kid, you know, as a 7-year-old or something going to camp there.
Yeah, you know, one of, as you were talking about it, just reminded me, I don't know if some people will remember some of those movies. I don't know if it was Jurassic Park, but how, you know, people will be traveling. They're always adventure movies and there's always people traveling to another island and how peaceful that is going across that island and not knowing what's to come, especially if they've never been there before. And that's always a very exciting time. And they're looking around with their noses pressed to the windows. So it's just extraordinary.
And what are some of the other activities that the kids are doing at this camp? I know you talked about the support groups, the bonfire, but I got to imagine that there's other, you know, camp activities going on, right?
Absolutely. That's the whole part of camp that we want the kids to encounter. We want them to be a part of, because part of grieving and part of helping kids with grief is giving them an opportunity to get that out. And the way they get that out is through play. So we provide them with opportunities to go fishing so they can fish right off the dock. There's this thing that kids love. It's called the Gaga Pit, which the kids absolutely love and they look forward to that. It's very competitive. There's a game called Foursquare, which, again, for anybody going to camp, and some who even might even be able to do that in school. That's something that they look forward to. We have a big bonfire. We make s'mores. The kids can play basketball and volleyball. So there's tons of stuff, including typical arts and crafts activities. And some of them are geared just for fun, and some of them are geared towards, you know, are grief-related. So the kids can make memory stones for their person, for their loved one. And essentially what that is there are these flat stones that we provide for campers. And on them, we provide them with acrylic markers. And with the acrylic markers, they can write a note to their person. So it might say something like, I miss you, Mom, or I love you, Dad. Or if they're not comfortable writing a short message, they can just draw pictures. And we have one camper who will always draw a Jets logo because her dad's favorite team was the Jets. So, and even talking about it now, I get the chills. It's just a wonderful opportunity so that, you know, when the kids are feeling lonely or sad, they can take those memory stones to school. They can put them in their pockets. They can keep them in their desks. So anytime that they're feeling sad, lonely, or if they're missing their person, they can just reach into wherever it is, their book bag, and know that their person is metaphorically right with them. They also make luminary bags, which for those who aren't familiar with them, some people know them as lanterns, where the kids will decorate these white paper bags. Old school people might remember them as lunch bags that we used to put our lunches in brown paper bags, but these are white. And again, the kids will decorate those luminary bags with a message to their person or a picture or anything that they want. And if they don't want to do anything like that, that's okay. We don't force them to do that. So those are just some of the things that some of the activities. And again, there's so much more, but we even have the Shelter Island Fire Department come by. And the kids can board the fire truck. The firemen or firefighters will allow them to get dressed up in the uniforms and in the helmets, and that's always a thrill for the kids as well.
Something that I wanted to mention was the last time that we talked, you had a statistic that was listed on your website that was 1 in 12 Americans experience a death of a sibling or a parent by the age of 18. Now, that statistic has changed. It is now 1 in 11. Why isn't grief like this talked about more?
That is a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I think perhaps a big reason is that nobody wants to talk about grief. Nobody wants to talk about death. It's not a happy subject. And so the more that we don't talk about it, the more that nobody knows about it. And what we try to do is we provide grief trainings for school teachers, for mental health professionals, and we'll go into school districts. We just did that with the Plainview Old Beth Page School District, where we provided grief trainings for their mental health staff and helping them to know how to speak with students who are grieving. Because quite honestly, no one knows, or I take that back, not no one, but many people don't know how to address a child who is grieving. Do we say something? Is it going to be hurtful to them? Is it going to make them even more sad? Reality is that by asking them something about it in a very tactful way helps them, gives them an opportunity to talk about someone that they don't get to talk about. So I was just reading something, you know, about the holidays where it's like, hey, I know it's the holidays and I just wanted to check in. I guess this time of the year is pretty heavy for you. And so we haven't used the word death. We haven't, you know, said anything that's going to really challenge them, but it may give that child an opportunity to say, yeah, you know, Christmas wasn't what it used to be, and I'm really missing my dad, or I'm really missing my mom. And that can open the door for kids talking about it. And the more that we can educate our school districts and our school teachers and everyone included, the support staff, the janitors, maintenance, mental health professionals, the more that we can do that, the more we can open the door to grief and just normalize it. It's really something that, again, that everybody knows about, everybody experiences, but they just don't know how to address.
I really like you using that term specifically, opening the door. Is that the effect that you see on the kids who have been a part of Camp Good Morning? They're able to open that door?
Yeah, because once they know that they can talk about it without feeling judged or without making another adult cry, and knowing that they're surrounded by kids who are just like them, that camp itself just normalizes the experience for them. And when they come to camp, they can talk openly about their loss, about the death of their person. They know that maybe the other kids didn't experience exactly the same thing. And they know that their mother isn't their mother, but they can understand about some of the things that they're feeling and some of the things that they're going through. And that's what bonds the kids together, is that they are not alone. And once they know that, it kind of takes a little bit of a weight off the shoulder. It doesn't, you know, we can't fix what happened. We know that, unfortunately, we don't have a magic wand. We can't bring their loved one back. But what we can do is provide them with empathy and provide them with a safe place to talk, to discuss, to cry, and also to laugh. Because, you know, in our support groups, we do a lot of laughing. You know, kids will share stories about their person, some of the funny things that their loved one did. And, you know, we'll talk about those favorite moments. And to them, you know, being able to do that where they know it's not going to make their other parent cry, or where they don't have to worry about upsetting somebody, it really does, you know, open the door for the conversation. And the more that we can do that, the more we can normalize the grief experience.
And again, if you're just tuning in here to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI, Alex here, speaking with Paul Rubin, Executive Director of Camp Good Morning. And Camp Good Morning hosts an annual chicken wing eating challenge. And I've been a part of this challenge. And let me tell you, it is a challenge. When and where is your sixth annual chicken wing eating challenge taking place?
Yes. Yeah, so this year we're welcome back to the Huntington Lodge in Greenlawn, and it'll be February 1st, starting at 1:30. And we are really, really grateful. You know, for the last several years, and when I say several, I mean 3, 4, 5 years, we've had the same partners come back year after year. And we are so, so grateful to them. And among them is WBAB and WBLI. We also have Buffalo Wild Wings and Miller's Ale House and Hooters and the all-new Sandwich Express and Zorn's. And we actually have a new partner called the Long Island Foodies, and they're online, but they have been so generous to us in helping us to spread the word, because really this is about having a good time. We don't talk about grief too much during that event. You know, we'll just explain to people why we're there and who it's for, but really this is kind of just a time to get together, have a fun time, as you know, and just laugh and have a great time. And we do give out trophies for most wings eaten. We give trophies out for most money raised. And we do that for two different age categories. So we'll do it for 17 and under, as well as for 18 and over. So it's a family friendly event. You know, we invite everybody and everybody, and there's no cost to get in if they don't enter the actual challenge. They can just come and root their, you know, their person on, whoever that person is. What's funny is that, you know, we usually have oak tag, and we'll provide markers as well. And usually the competitors come with their own support team, their own rooting section. So, you know, we know that they're coming. We provide that oak tag and those markers for their supporters to make signs as the wing contest is going on. And it's about 12 minutes long. But as you know, it gets really, really loud, and it's just a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it's I entered with my friend Priscilla for WBAB and BLI. And keep in mind, I went to school in Buffalo for 4 years. So I was very confident walking in that, you know, I could put down some wings. Let me tell you, I was shown up. I was shown up by nearly everybody there. I realized I was not at the top of the food chain when it came to wing eating when I was there.
And, you know, one of the best things about it is that, you know, while it's competitive, it's not really competitive in a way that everybody knows why they're there. They're mm-hmm. there to have fun. But the main purpose is to raise money to help send kids to camp. And, you know, last year we raised, I think, just about $15,000 during that one event. And that's one of our bigger fundraisers. So, you know, anybody and everybody that can come out, please do. It's just a fun experience. And, you know, one of the things that we also do is we invite, you know, big corporations like New York Life, and New York Life has been supporting us for a really long time. And they'll usually have a couple of teams. So it's, you know, it's like claiming bragging rights within your own company. Mm-hmm. So it's just, again, it's just a great, great amount of fun.
Exactly. It is a ton of fun. And if somebody did want to sign up for the challenge, do they need a team already, or can you go in single? And how much is it to register?
So that's a great question. So it's two people to a team. So one person only needs one other buddy, male, female, it doesn't matter. Girl, boy, it doesn't matter. Meaning, you know, you can have mixed teams. It's $35 per person. So it's $70 per team. And we simply ask in the same way, you know, is for them, each person to get four people to sponsor them. And, you know, it's $25 per sponsor. So essentially all they have to do is raise $100 between four people and then their entry donation. They're allowed to eat as many wings as they want. Really, we have, it's due to all those partners that I mentioned earlier, that, you know, that we get those wings for absolutely free. So this is a great opportunity for wing eaters to eat all kinds of different wings from all different places and just have a good time.
And can people register in person? Can they register online? How do they actually register for the event?
Sure. So the way they can register is they can just go to campgoodmorning.org/events. And Camp Good Morning is spelled with a U. And when they go to events, they're going to, the first thing that they're going to see is the Wing Challenge flyer. And they're just going to go down to where it says registration or donate. And that's where they can do all their registration.
And are there other things to participate in during the event? I know in the past you've had 50-50s and raffles. Is that coming back this year?
We're doing something a little bit different. We're also going to have, last year I think we had, I'm pretty sure we had activities for the kids as well. So sometimes, you know, if adults want to come to, and want to participate in the challenge, you know, some of them have small children or children who could actually come to our camp. So we want to make sure that those kids have something to do. So we have stations throughout the event. We have a place for them to play like a giant Jenga game or Connect Four, and also make friendship bracelets where the kids absolutely love that. It's one of the things that the kids love to do at camp. And so one of the things that we're having is, for those who are familiar with John Edward, he's a very well-known psychic medium. He and his team provided us with two VIP tickets to his Long Island show, February 18th. And with that, he is providing, I believe it is 7 books, 3 DVDs that are multiple DVDs. And we're raffling that off as well as an iPad. So, you know, people who come down will have the opportunity to do that as well as a 50-50.
And why did you decide to choose a wing eating competition to raise money?
You know, the first thing that people say when they say wing eating, a big smile comes to their face.
That is true.
And the second thing is, that's so much fun. And that's why we're doing it, for the smiles and the fun. It's not a typical fundraiser, meaning it's not the typical event of a fundraiser. So I believe in doing in things that are different, things that, you know, are not necessarily the norm, because that's going to create excitement. And when you get the smiles that go with it, you know, you hit a home run.
And again, if you're just tuning in here to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI, Alex here, speaking with Paul Rubin, Executive Director of Camp Good Morning. And if somebody wanted to support Camp Good Morning, either through volunteering or through monetary efforts, how can they go about supporting you guys?
So they can go to our website, which is campgoodmorning.org, MOURNING. They can also go to our Facebook page or our Instagram page. We're also on LinkedIn. Or they can reach out directly to us at, or me, at paul.campgoodmorning@gmail.com. We're always, always looking for compassionate individuals who want to just make a difference in a grieving child's life. I know that a lot of people, one of the first questions people will ask is, you know, what kind of experience do I have? Because I don't have any grief experience. And I say that's absolutely okay. The big thing that we ask for is that you come with an open heart and great listening ears, because really that's all the kids need, is they just need to know that they can be in a place where they feel safe and they will be listened to. And that's the biggest gift that you can give.
And one last time before we wrap up, when and where are you guys set to host your 6th annual Team Chicken Wing Eating Challenge?
So the challenge is scheduled for Sunday, February 1st at 1:30 at the Huntington Lodge in Greenlawn. The website is up now. So if you're listening to this now, you can go right to our website and you can register right now for the Wing Challenge. And also those raffles for the John Edward tickets as well as the iPad will be on there as well. So you can get it all done right now.
Once again, that is campgoodmorning.org, morning spelt with a U. Paul, I'd like to thank you so much for joining me here today.
Alex, as always, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much.
This has been Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock, and 106.1 BLI, Long Island's number one for all the hits. plugged into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area issues. It airs Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plugged into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group of Long Island's Community Affairs team right here at our studios on Long Island.